all literary?
Yeah, they're all literary. Even the mom. The mom is going to be Virginia. Virginia Woolf.
No, you were not.
This is the foster mom. I left it all up to her. Okay. I said to her, I have one requirement and one requirement only when it comes to puppies. And that is, don't pick beep asshole names. I don't want Lily. I don't want Angel. I don't want Sadie. I don't want Brownie. I don't want Rex. Sorry, people.
What about Lucky?
I'm sorry, people. Yes, they are good names, but they've used it over and over and over again. I want unique names. I don't care if you name a dog Meatloaf and Chicken Pot Pie.
Yeah, they need to be vetted.
I want them unique.
That's why you're the boss.
Yeah, yeah.
You do it.
Good evening, lifers. You're listening to In Real Life. I'm Emily.
There we go. I'm Kimzilla. That feels good.
It feels good.
For you guys out there, just so you know, this is a part two, but it doesn't necessarily need to be listened to in that order. Whoa.
I don't think. I just got my headphones too close to the mic. I'm really sorry. I've been so embarrassed.
So, hold on one second.
So tonight is a part two.
Thank you.
But it doesn't mean you're not going to be lost or totally in the dark if you didn't hear the part one. It's a little more fun if you heard the part one because this is sort of the second installment. It's like a soap opera.
It's a soap opera. But I feel like this is...
Or like that movie, The Incredible Journey.
I promise people on social media that this would be the episode where it isn't like a Sarah McLachlan song. Like this is where last week we went over kind of Tammy and Jeff's insane life as dog rescuers, and this means that like they're cleaning poop out from between their toes probably at least twice a day, what it takes to get dogs from third world states like Southern Texas up to New Jersey, and just what people do to be able to support an organization like North Star Rescue. Now this week it's a little bit more of a positive story, don't you think? We're talking about the fosters, like habitual fosters, ones that over and over again keep fostering different dogs. Habitual.
Habitual sounds like foster. I mean, it actually has sort of a
Like a negative connotation. How about obsessive fosters?
The repeat fosters.
How about addicted foster? No.
This is all sounding bad.
Yeah. What would you suggest?
They're like the swag for lifers of the foster world.
Yeah.
Of the pet world.
Right. They just keep giving and giving,
just keep giving
and giving and giving and giving. So this week, besides the question that I really want to know is if Tammy and Jeff could ever sleep in on a weekend. But also, we're going to talk to Delia, who is the habitual foster. Just checking to see if you're listening, Emily. And then I shadowed along with a meet and greet for a dog that came the day that I was there on transport. And then I went back and they had a meet and greet for a potential adopter to meet this said Basset Hound. We met the Basset Hound a little bit last week. So that's the agenda. And then we're going to have a postscript with Jeff and Tammy, and they're going to tell us what happened to the dogs in the earlier episode.
Because we
the
know
tripod,
you're on the edge of your seats about
the
that.
Mama and her 10 babies.
I was.
And the Basset Hound. What happens to the Basset Hound? So that's all coming up on In Real Life.
I gotta say, you had me going for a little while there on Sunday because I just really should stop using the internet on April Fool's Day because it's just a roller coaster, guys. It's you think things that are exciting are happening and things that are scary are happening and you don't know what's real and what's not. And I keep forgetting it's April Fool's Day every 10 minutes and it was very emotional. So I thought that Kim adopted one of these puppies, and she didn't.
It wasn't even.
It was a fake Facebook post.
It wasn't even a puppy. It was like
no, it was like a 200-pound Great Pyrenees, which I was even more excited about. I was like, bring him to the station.
I was hoping that like my mom and James' mom would see it, and then they would freak out at us. But the neighbor then liked it, like the brand new neighbor that we have. And I was like, oh my God, she's going to think that we have all these dogs. And then like all these other people were like, congratulations. And I started to get stressed out about like the joke, like getting too far. I was
See?
Like tumbling down.
That's where you got to be careful about your practical jokes, Kim. Just taking them a little bit too far.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Once we have a fence, I feel like the potential is there.
The sky's the limit.
I'm going to bring in an old foster dog. My mother doesn't know it. We'll see if she listens to this program.
I guess this is a good test.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm bringing home a puppy later. It's a good test, too.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Let's see if it works. Let's see the feedback. All right. Well, to begin with, I just want to remind you guys, there is also a message board at WFMU.org, and you click on what, Emily?
Playlists and comments.
There you go. And we'll all be there. During
all of us.
We'll all be there. All the lifers.
Of us.
All of us.
I'm sorry. I'm in a really goofy mood today. I don't know why.
You are.
I am.
But we're out of time. So let's just get this.
Let's just get this show on the road.
Let's get this show on the road.
And I live here in New Jersey with my family, my wife, and my three kids. And we have always had animals. Ever since I was born, I've always had a house full of animals. So it was only natural that then when I, had my own family, we would just have cats and dogs. And we volunteered and worked at an animal shelter, and we would foster through them. And then I happened to meet Tammy and Jeff, and, she was always in need of foster homes. So we started fostering for them a few years back, and we love it, We do it whenever we can. It's, very rewarding. There's just nothing like it, nothing like watching a dog who has been let down by humans decide to give us another chance. I always like to say that because they're just so non-judgmental and they're just forgiving, and they come from all different situations where they were for some reason either given up or found as strays, which typically means they were just let go or abandoned, given up for, silly reasons, moving, sudden allergies, et cetera. And then, you know, they came from a home where they were supposedly loved and felt secure and safe, and their world was turned upside down, and they're scared. And then they come into this new environment, and, you know, you just get to watch them slowly settle back in and trust again, and, you know, the first wag of the tail, and it's amazing, you know, an amazing experience. It's rewarding. It teaches our kids compassion and, you know, the plight of homeless animals, and I want to pass that on to them. I feel that that's very important. They're the next generation of, you know, adopters and animal rescuers, so I want to definitely make sure that they understand that and get that experience. So that's why we do it. We love it. I can't imagine not doing it. Yeah, I love fostering. For both dogs and cats, we've always tended to opt to either foster or adopt the seniors. Seniors are, they're easier for one thing. You know, it depends on what the family's looking for in a dog, of course, but with a senior dog, you're going to get a dog who is already house trained and who will not chew things that they are not supposed to chew and not get into things. Their personality is already set, and you kind of know what you see is what you get usually, which is nice. And they're just so grateful. You know, a lot of times they just they still have plenty of energy, but they want to just, you know, relax, and they just want a place to lay their heads. And just seeing, you know, like an old or even older, wizened looking dog, you know, there's just something about it that makes it, I don't know, it just makes it even more rewarding, I think. And just, you know, they tend to be less adoptable. You know, everybody wants the puppies or the young ones. I will always have a place in my home for these older ones. And I urge anybody who's, you know, even considering a senior to go for it. It's an incredible experience. You know, you may not have them for as long, that's true, but they may surprise you, you know, whether you have them for, you know, I've had, unfortunately, one time a dog that we adopted, she was only with us for 11 months, you know, but I don't regret a thing. You know, she was wonderful. She enriched our lives. Our lives are better because she came into it, you know, and we'd like to think that we made a difference in her life, more importantly, that she had that the last 11 months of her life instead of being, you know, spent sitting on a concrete floor of an animal shelter, you know, still being cared for and them doing the best they can. Instead, she got to be in a home and be with the family again and feel loved, and that nothing beats that. So that's why we do it.
Tammy was mentioning that sometimes people actually give up their senior dog when they get a puppy. Have you found that to be the case?
I've been in the animal welfare field for close to 20 years now, between fostering, working and volunteering in a shelter, et cetera. And yeah, I have seen that before, that sadly, they don't see it a real lot, luckily, but I've come across it, and it's incredibly upsetting. Anybody who has a heart, you know, feel like, oh my gosh, yeah, that people almost, it's almost like they want to trade in their older pet to get a younger model, you know, like you would do to a car, you know, it's pretty horrible. So, you know, the mentality of certain people, unfortunately, is that pets are disposable and that they're almost viewed as, you know, a possession, an object, instead of a living being. And, you know, I think we've come a long way in the animal welfare, you know, field with trying to change that mindset. But I think we still have a long ways to go based on sometimes the reasons why people, you know, give for surrendering over their pets. I, you know, read stories and, you know, talk to people who live in other areas of the country, and it's amazing. It's like a, you know, it seems like a totally different world almost, the way animals are viewed in other states.
Yeah.
You know, that's not to say everybody, of course, in those states is like that, but generally speaking, it's just a much much more significant problem in the southern states, sadly. So we're up here trying to help up here in New Jersey, but you know, little by little, one dog at a time. That's always what I say, you know, making a difference one dog at a time, because that's the best we can do.
That's the best you can do.
Otherwise, it's overwhelming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel like it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah. It is.
Would you mind talking about one of your most memorable foster experiences?
Sure. Yeah. I actually have, I mean, they're all memorable. I remember every single foster animal I've ever had.
And how many have you had?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I could probably list them all, but let me think. I would say altogether over the years, probably 50-ish, including cats and dogs, yeah. But a very memorable fostering and then adoption story that we have is about 2 years ago, Tammy had asked me to foster a little chihuahua named Gomez, and he was less than 5 pounds, and he was blind, 100% blind. And the vets had thought that he was probably born blind, and he actually got around pretty well, considering. So we agreed happily to foster this little chihuahua. And mind you, we had, at the time, we just had our big golden retriever, who also was a shelter dog, and he's like 80 pounds. And then we had this like 4.5 pound chihuahua. So it was pretty funny. They got along great. And, you know, my wife and I said to ourselves, you know, and to each other, we're probably going to have this little guy, Gomez, for quite some time, because he was a little bit older also, and he's blind. So he's, you know, he's not exactly considered to be, you know, on most people's, you know, list, you know, what they're looking for in a dog, you know, a blind, older dog. So I put him, his picture and his description on my Facebook page to my friends, and I said, oh, here's our newest foster dog, Gomez, and he's so sweet and cute, and he's blind, but that doesn't, you know, stop him from loving life, and, you know, gave a whole big description about him. And a friend of mine from elementary school, who I've known since I was like 5 years old, happened to be in the market for a little chihuahua. She already had one, and she was hoping to adopt a special needs chihuahua. I mean, go figure, you know. And she lived all the way down in Virginia Beach. And here I am up in New Jersey.
Right. And he probably passed by Virginia Beach on his way up.
Yeah, he did. I know. How funny is that, right? So she called me, and she said, I feel like this is meant to be. She said, you know, there was another adoption she had that happened to fall through somewhere, you know, down there, local to her. And then she saw my post on this little Gomez, and she said, I just felt an instant connection to him. And long story short, within a week, she made arrangements to drive all the way up here to New Jersey, which is about, I want to say, like about a 6.5 hour ride, car ride. And she adopted this little Gomez, and he is living the best life with her and her family. And she actually adopted another special needs chihuahua from Tammy and Jeff after that.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was just, I love that story, because it's, you know, it's somebody who I know. And it's just, you just never know. Here's this poor little guy who would have probably languished at this shelter down in Texas because of overcrowding and, you know, the lack of adoptions, and just there's the fact that there's so many, you know, animals down there. And he comes up here, and he got a home within 2 weeks. You know, it was just amazing. I love still getting updates on him.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just the sweetest little thing. And I'm just so happy for him that he has this wonderful home. And we don't know how he got to that shelter in Texas originally. We don't know his original story, you know, what happened to him. But that's all. He put that all behind him, because he's definitely living the life now. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so great.
It's an amazing story, really. Yeah.
And who do you have in the household now as far as foster pets?
Right now we have a little chihuahua mix named Happy, and he's aptly named because his little tail is always wagging. He's just like the friendliest, happiest little guy. He just trots around and follows you around, and he's 10 years old. So he actually is at a good age where he'll still play with my other dogs and, you know, play for about 10 minutes or so, and then he'll get tired and he'll jump on the couch and go underneath a blanket and take a nap for a couple hours. But he's been wonderful. He fit right in as soon as we picked him up from the transport. He's also from Texas. He walked into our house and just said, okay, here I am. I'm going to hang out here for a while until I get adopted. So he's available for adoption. I'm hoping that he gets adopted pretty quickly because he's just so friendly and he would pretty much fit into any home. So,
how long have you had him in the house?
We've only had him for about a week and a half now.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so he's welcome to stay here as long as he needs to until he finds his forever home.
Mm.
So we have an 8-year-old golden retriever who we adopted from an animal shelter about 4 years ago. When we were looking at the time for just a friendly adult dog, and the one that we picked and came home, and he's been wonderful. And he welcomes in all the fosters. He's welcomed in many, many fosters over the 4 years that he's been here.
Oh, a little diplomat,
a
right?
Yeah, he's great. He is wonderful. And then we just adopted a puppy, a Pyrenees, Great Pyrenees St. Bernard mix.
Oh, my God.
We named her Holly. She's a little 10-week-old puppy right now, but she's going to be really big when she grows up. So we typically, you know, it's kind of out of character for us because we typically adopt, as I've said, the older dogs. And
tiny
ones. and we decided to just, this for once because we never adopt puppies. So like, oh, let's just do it. You know, we do have kids, and they love the older ones too, of course, but said, oh, maybe one day we can get a puppy, and we always said, maybe, and we just decided to do it. So we love her. She's funny. She keeps us on our toes for sure, and she and Happy, the little foster dog, actually are about the same size now, and not for long, but for now, and they actually play together and run around together, so it's really cute.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How old is she now?
Right now, she's only like 10 and a half weeks old. She's still very much a baby.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, very exciting. Definitely.
Does this retire you from the foster world, or are you just going to have a bigger, happier family?
Not.
No.
A bigger, happier family. I would recommend being a foster family to anyone who loves dogs and who wants to make a difference. You know, if you truly want to make a difference in the life of just one dog, you know, if you foster that one dog, that dog's whole life has changed for the better, and you save that dog's life. Even if that's all you do is one dog in your whole life, that's one dog's life that you save. You know, and so you make a difference. You know, you have that sense of purpose, and like you're all coming together. Anyway, and from the foster family down in Texas to the transporters to the people who meet the transport up in New Jersey, and then the dog ends up finally with you in the foster home, and you get to have this whole experience of being a part of that incredible experience. It's very rewarding, and you watch this dog come out of its shell, or maybe it already was out of its shell and just waltzes right into your house, you know, as if it's lived there forever. And you get to meet the forever family, you know, who ends up adopting your foster dog. I've actually stayed in touch with, since I've been fostering with Tammy and Jeff, I've stayed in touch with every single adopter of my foster dogs. And I keep in touch with them. I see them once in a while. So it's an incredible experience to see these dogs who are now just living the best lives that they can because we all came together, you know, and the foster family is just one piece of that larger puzzle, but it's a very mm-hmm. important piece because without foster homes, you know, any of these rescues couldn't do what they do. Foster homes are vital. So I strongly urge anybody to please, if you have it, you know, in your hearts and homes, to just open yourself up to this little temporary visitor for a little while, and you have the patience, you know. We never know. You know, a dog, could, like I said, could come in and feel very at ease immediately, or they might be a little bit scared, and they need a little bit of time to kind of decompress and settle in. But there's nothing like it. There's no other experience like it.
That's so heartwarming. I really loved her perspective. She was making me all like, no.
I know.
Like the way she talked about older dogs. I was listening to this when we were going through the audio, just like, yes, yes, yes.
I want an older dog.
I just want to take care of them. Like, especially dogs that have had such a hard life, maybe in a shelter and feel abandoned. I just want to love them so much.
I just want to give them an extra spot on the couch, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Like, yeah, just to exactly. Just to love on them.
It just seems like a terrible thing to, like, go from being on some person's couch your whole life and then, like, your last chapter being in a stupid cell.
That's awful.
I don't know.
It's so sad. It's heartbreaking.
And if you're a foster, I don't know. I just feel like there are people out there like Delia that are actually looking to adopt older dogs, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's people out there that are looking, like that little chihuahua.
Right.
They're looking
blind,
to come
sad little far, blind chihuahua.
Far distance for a blind chihuahua. There's people out there that are good.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
My cat has three legs and no tail. She's a little special needs.
I love the special needs weirdos.
Yeah. And we, I mean, she's great, you know?
Yeah.
And I fell in love with her immediately.
Man. Well, if you guys are curious at all, I know we mentioned their website, which is northstarpets.org, but their Facebook, you can actually click on the pictures of the pets and the fosters that they have kind of in the process right now, and some are coming from Texas soon. And I know that they're actually looking for fosters. So if you're in the New York, New Jersey area and you have the extra space, this might be your new next calling. But the Facebook account, it's under North Star Pet Rescue.
And we're having a great conversation about pet names
on the
message board right now. So if you want to join us, go to WFMU.org and click on playlists and comments. We're talking about how dictator and despot names make really good
they do.
Names for cats.
They do. You can be really creative. It's mm-hmm. it's like toenails. They're like meant to be colorful.
I was really wondering where you were going with that.
All right.
Like, do you name your toenails?
I name each of my toenails. That's for a future
episode. We'll talk about that.
Let's move on. You guys want to feel some warm and fuzzy?
We have the giggles.
It's
contagious.
Let's just bring us to the fly on the wall adoption, potential adoption portion, which I think these were the cutest people ever
they
to get
wonderful.
Off of a...
I got a little teary. This is emotional.
Fan. All right, here we go.
So this person that's doing the meet and greet, and there's definitely mm-hmm. like a lot of people looking for a Basset Hound.
Mm-hmm.
Like what... Because I hear a lot from people that get frustrated
yes.
with the rescue organizations because they're like, you know, there's so many dogs in the world. Why do I have to go through this enormous vetting process if they're just trying to get these dogs into homes? So, I'd like to know, like the reason why you end up vetting them so much and a little bit about the process and why.
I have a more philosophical view toward it. I think, you know, our adoption contract or our adoption application is very long. It asks a lot of questions, and like you said, there are some people who ask that, or they get annoyed, you know, like, oh, why is this so long? And for me, I instantly get angry at that, because I don't think people really understand that we both have full-time jobs. All our volunteers have full-time jobs. We do this, you know, kind of out of, you know, it's like a calling for us. And our fosters in Texas, our fosters here, and the animals really deserve to go to the best home possible. And we don't want them to come back. We want to make sure it's a perfect fit. And that's why we ask all these questions. And it's not really a matter of, oh, you know, because there are so many dogs, we should just get as many adopted out as quickly as we can. Who cares where they go? It's better than being dead or whatever. You know, it's, we owe it to our fosters who are doing this to help us to make sure that, that we've done our due diligence to make sure the dog goes to the best home possible. So, you know, because we're volunteers, you know, I take it personally. You know, every adoption is a personal thing to us. You know, we're emotionally invested in this dog. And it's not just, you know, it's not just a business. You know, you're not just selling a product to the first person that comes along. So,
and I should note that we get a lot of really great applications. For Baxter, I had a ton of applications to choose from. And in this instance, I chose the first good application that came in. The first person that applied, and it was a really good application, and I put the foster in touch with the applicant, and she really liked the applicant. And you know, we get such great applications, and we want to help those people find a dog, but a lot of times they're looking for something specific, like a Basset Hound, which we won't get as often, or you know,
a Yorkie or something.
Yeah, something. For instance, we had a dog named Allie, and I had 30 something applications on Allie because she's this cute little Yorkie looking dog, and you know, it's and once again, she was a dog with behavioral issues, so we wanted to find someone that was gonna put up with that.
But there's going to be 29 disappointed, possibly angry people, and one really, really, really happy person, and one happy dog. So, you know, that's kind of just the way it goes. You know, we're in the business to complete families and make people happy, but along the way, you know, there's going to be people that apply that you know, that don't that get approved, or they don't get the dog, or their application is not approved. So, sadly, it's just kind of the way it goes. Mm.
How are you going to be able to give up this Basset Hound? This is so ridiculous.
I'm telling you.
Oh my God. You're upside down.
As a rescue person, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'd like to put all of my dogs up for adoption and keep Baxter.
Amazing.
We would keep you.
This is what I'd like to know. Like, day in the life, Tammy and Jeff, on a Saturday. What is it like to be in your poop shoes?
Oh my God.
20% of our lives is cleaning up poop in various places. Like, you know, under the couch. It's like, how did that get
between
under there?
Your toes? Yeah,
between your toes.
So Jeff goes to bed much later than me, and I am a morning person. So I get up first thing in the morning, and all the dogs follow me downstairs. It is quite loud, and a lot of barking is going on, and everyone's excited. And I release the hounds into the yard, and then everyone gets fed. And then I clean up poop, I clean up pee, and then typically at that point I either have meet and greets or I have a transport or...
Just give her like a rundown of today, because today is jam-packed.
Yeah, so today I'm you know, meeting with you, and then I have an 11 a.m. meet and greet, I have a 12 p.m. meet and greet. I have to go to Prospect Park at 2 o'clock to go meet a dog. Then I come back here at 3 p.m. and I have another meet and greet, and then, you know, take care of the dogs and everything. And then of course I have to go through emails and applications and, you know, all that jazz and everything. So
it's
never ending. When we sit down to watch TV at night, we're not watching TV. The TV is on, but both of us are on our phones, and you can hear us boop. Dictating to our phones because we, you know, we're answering applications that we're getting, or we're responding to fosters or inquiries or anything like that. I should note that Baxter's people are here. Usually the dogs bark when I say here, so I'm surprised they haven't. But as soon as we get up,
spell it sometimes.
Yeah,
H-E-R-E.
But they know how to spell now. So okay. When we say H-E-R-E,
she's outside right
now. Yeah. So I think we should.
So the potential meet and greet is outside. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Should I?
Outside. Yep.
Okay.
Can you turn on the TV?
Baxter.
Yeah. Where's the, do you have it over here? Yeah, you have it right here.
Oh, exciting.
Hold on.
It's like being a matchmaker.
Yeah, you come here. We're going to put you upstairs.
We try to block out outside noises to...
This is all part of the
routine. You block out
sounds. You got music.
we certain dogs go in certain areas. Even though he can jump that, he gets very upset when I leave. So, all right. So you and I will go outside. All right, you have to stay here, buddy.
You're the surprise.
You yet? Here, you go first, Kim.
Hi. I'm Kim. I'm the person that's recording this.
Kim, okay.
Nice to meet you.
Nice
Are you the
too.
Potential adopter?
I'm Chris, yes.
Chris, nice to meet you.
My husband.
Hi, Herb, nice to meet you.
My dad, Dave, and my brother, Andrew.
How are you?
Hi,
hello.
Nice to meet you.
We have been looking for a basset hound specifically. There's a number of other rescues we were working with, but this one is the one that stepped up, so, yeah. We would have taken a basset beagle cross or, you know, something like that, but we've had bassets before and wanted another one.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
You're going to be so excited. I just fell in love with him inside. So.
Yeah, it sounds like he's an absolute sweetheart.
He's fabulous. He's fabulous.
So you guys drove up from
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
I'm from Idaho.
Idaho!
Well, he's even further. I'm visiting. I'm an expat. I live abroad.
Very good. Very good. Well, I don't want to keep you guys.
All right, let me grab him. I'm going to come out, and we'll, so if you want to.
Yeah.
But I was wondering if we might borrow your bathroom for a moment,
yes,
too.
Yes, well, what we'll do is we have to rotate dogs around.
Yeah.
Stuff,
right.
So, yeah, so I'm going to bring him out first, but he's awesome.
Oh, cool. You ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was saying how interesting, I mean, that he just came yesterday and he's just laying on the sofa with just a snore and these ears draped down like banana leaves. Just so
sounds
chill
like
around all of these other dogs.
Great.
That sounds like a typical basset.
Is that really?
Yes. Very much so. They're very laid back. That's one of the reasons we wanted another one.
So laid back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fun dogs to be with. They can get their things going. Their nose, if their nose gets excited, they follow it, and that's what gets them into trouble.
Yeah.
They take off, and they don't come back. And then they look around, and they realize they have no idea where they went.
Yeah. So. Oh, my gosh. Here we go. Here
we go. Oh. Hello, Max. Hello, Bobby. Look at you.
Doesn't he look good?
He looks great. Oh, he looks so much better
right?
than he did in his profile.
Hello.
My. I have presents.
Got along with all of our dogs. We have tons of dogs in the house, and he just settled right in with the pack
of
dogs.
Our big thing is that he was fostered with cats.
Yep.
Because we have four.
Yeah. He just doesn't seem to care about anything other than being next to you. Yes.
This.
Oh, he is. He'll take your hand off, just so you know. I mean, he's very soft about it, but he's still got that hunger.
He's going to for a while.
For a long time.
One of my first stops with him once we're ready to take him out is going to be to take him to our food specialist.
Aww,
so
awesome.
We can get him, get supplements figured out.
Oh, great.
Yeah, there's the boy. You
oh, isn't he now?
So you know
better.
It right away? How does it feel when you meet a dog?
I don't think this is a good fit.
You just want to keep him.
How long have the both of you been looking for the right dog?
Well, we lost our cat-hating dog, or a dog-hating cat, in November. No, end of August, or end of October.
Mm.
And we had been saying that once he was gone, we were going to open the dog search. We waited a couple weeks because we were both pretty heart sore after we lost him. He was 12. It's been 4 years since we've had a dog in our home, but I've really missed having that extra bit of companionship. I love my kitties. They're affectionate. They're wonderful. We love them, but a dog is different. And I don't work full-time. As a matter of fact, I'm on furlough right now, and it gets a little empty in the house.
Yeah.
I love to go for walks, but it's a little lonely to go walking by yourself. Just yeah. What do you think? What?
Mama's boy.
Are you a mama's boy? You want to see her? You should come see her. He's going. No, I'm just fine right where I am.
Yeah. Is that how bassets are? Are they fine?
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty much.
this is typical. Even after such a big transport, you would think there would be a little bit more anxiety, and I don't see an ounce
this
of anxiety in his face.
I have a feeling that whatever it is that happened that caused him to lose his home, and I'm suspicious it was the hurricane.
It could have been.
He's just happy to have a people, any people. And right now, any people will do. Uh-huh. As he settles in and comes to live with us and get used to us, we'll see what he's like. A new dog's personality doesn't begin to develop for at least a month, sometimes as long as six. Sometimes it takes years before they're really comfortable. I don't think that's going to be a problem with this guy.
Oh, such a basset face.
I don't know that
Yes, it is. It's such a basset.
Okay, so I'm just going to go over the contract with you. I know I sent it previously, but I'm just going to go over it with you, have you initial and do all that. First part deals with spaying and neutering. Second part deals with keeping him up to date on shots. He's had distemper, bordetella, rabies. We don't do Lymes, so he would, if you wanted Lymes, you would do that at your expense. That you're going to license him in your town and you're going to register his microchip. He is microchipped.
Okay.
That's going to be my next question.
Yep. If for some reason it doesn't work out, he comes back to us. 1 year,
so
five
I need
years.
To sign here. Where's that yours?
It's been an eventful
this is
2 weeks.
Your,
yeah, the lead up,
name,
the build up.
And then my next week we're picking up a brand new RV.
Oh. Is he going to be going on a road trip with you guys?
He's
going to
be going on trips with us.
Where's the plan? Where's he headed?
Yes.
All of it.
We'll probably start in the Shenandoah Valley down in Virginia. That's one of our favorite places to go camping when we're doing a three-day or four-day weekend out that's, you know, not super long. And it's a good place to get started. We usually take two cats along, too, so that should be entertaining.
That's awesome. Here's all of his records that we've, including his...
It's a torturous time when, to the point that you pick him up, though, isn't it? Like, just waiting, the waiting game of, like, what could go wrong, and...
The right dog's worth waiting for.
Yeah.
The right dog is worth waiting for.
This is his microchip number.
Okay.
And that's the fetch ID is where you go to to register it.
Okay, awesome.
So,
how much do I owe you?
Well, our adoption fee for a dog over 7 years old is $200.
Okay.
So, and then our regular adult adoption fee is $375. So whatever.
Well, I already agreed to do the dental, so that was $89, and that's going to be. I'm just going to put it at flat $100. So.
Okay.
What do you want to give him her? Oh, Herb.
He gave you his answer.
I'll give you the agreed specified.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
That's very generous of you.
Well, I'm also going to send Carrie a $50 gift card for Tractor Supply.
That's great. She could use that, that's for sure. We're so happy that she stepped up because I wanted him, and our biggest thing with pulling dogs is the
someplace
first step of
go.
Getting a foster. And when
and
she stepped up, we're like, yes!
Yeah. It sounds like she was wonderful.
Yeah.
And she's been so
yeah.
good about updating me and everything. I mean, just, splendid. Splendid. Yeah, somewhere in that bag, whoever has the bag.
I have the bag.
Is a leash.
Oh, an official leash.
The official leash.
Here they come. Here comes your new mama.
What do you think, Max?
He was looking.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
All right.
Come on, bud.
There we go.
Here we go.
This way.
Now comes the hard part.
Come on, buddy.
Up.
Come on, bud. Here we go.
That's it. Good boy. Good boy.
You're going to go in there.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. All right,
guys.
Thank
you. Thank you,
guys.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
They're so cute.
That was a good adoption to yeah, we couldn't even set that up.
Oh
tried,
my gosh,
you know?
Yeah. It's like, did you, was this a fake?
I know, exactly.
There you go.
They were so cute. They were so, I know they're from Virginia, but they seem very Midwestern to me.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good boy. Who's a good
boy? It was
boy.
So sweet. It was really good to be able to follow that story.
Oh, my
too.
God.
When I got really invested in it. I, like, really wanted it to work out and for them to be okay. And it was so great in the end when they showed up and they were so happy to see him and take him home. He's going to be so happy.
Now, there was a different adopter meet and greet right afterwards. And this was one that I also saw this dog come off of the transport truck. And it was like a really nervous but adorable little kind of teddy bear-y looking dog.
Mm-hmm.
And a family was interested in it. And I had this side conversation. I didn't want to end with this, but it was an interesting conversation because Tammy was outside talking to this family, young kids that wanted to adopt this little fuzzy dog.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just tell in this little fuzzy dog that he did not like to be hugged. He did not like to be handled in the way that maybe kids would want to handle things.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff was inside just talking to me about, like, how hard it is to be able to, like, you know, these people were the ones that were lined up for this dog, and sometimes you can't talk them out of what they want in an adoption or what they want in a dog, but you try all these different angles and try to maybe, you know, you really have to play the part of, like, a matchmaker.
Right.
And make it, you know, so they see it also that it has to be for the kids and it has to be for the dog as well.
Well, because if it's a bad match, they're just going to end up taking the dog back to a shelter, especially if they have kids.
Yeah.
And it's a bad match and the dog ends up,
but
you know,
can you
nipping
imagine
one
having like an entire family that are there ready to get a dog
and you have, like, to be like, I don't think it's a good fit. That's a really hard job.
That's, you know, they were talking about, like, these are the types of concerns that we, you know, we look at, and sometimes it's not as black and white as the Basset Hound adoption.
Right, where it was just so clear that it was a perfect match.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, because they're adopting some sort of troubled dogs in some cases. Well, I want to hear how it turned out.
Let's listen to Tammy and Jeff. They'll tell us about some of the other dogs. I know we're running
and get late. An update.
Yeah. You guys tend to take on more difficult cases. I know you usually do a mix of no-brainers.
Yeah.
And then some dogs that have special needs and older dogs, but
we have a lot of seniors in the system right now. We have a senior named Poncho that has been in foster since October, and he was recently adopted and returned because, unfortunately, he was treated for heartworm in Texas, and he tested negative before he came up. And he's been on heartworm preventative since October, and then he was adopted out. They brought him to their vet, and he tested positive for heartworm. And that does happen sometimes. So now he has to be retreated for heartworm again. And he's a senior. He's 10 or 11 years old. He's a little 10-pound dachshund chihuahua mix. So he was returned because the family, it was an older woman, and she just lost her dog. And she wanted a senior dog, but she just couldn't go through the thought of losing a dog again. Mm-hmm. So he was just recently returned, and he's in foster, and he has to undergo heartworm treatment. So I would love to see him get adopted. He really is what I call a no-brainer. He just wants a lap to lay in. That's it. That's all he wants. He's good with other dogs, good with cats, good with kids, good with people. He's awesome. We have a little pity pit bull named Benjamin on our website, and he was pulled locally from Newark. And he loves cats, loves dogs, loves kids. He's another one that would just be, and he's young. He's like 6-7 months old. And he is, he's great. We have Brandy, who is a senior. She's in foster up here in New Jersey. We pulled her from a really bad shelter in Texas. And she's just, I don't know, she's probably like 10 years old. I don't even know what mix we would say she is, maybe a greyhound mix. And she's good with cats and dogs as well. And she's living in a home with kids. And you know, she's another one, if you just want a companion that is just going to lay on the couch with you and doesn't need much. Oh my God, Finlandia. Finlandia is...
I saw that.
So we named her Finlandia because she smells like cheese.
Is that wrong? I think that's wrong.
And
is she like an otter hound or something? What is
she? She's like a basset hound mix. The basset hound. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
like
basset
hound.
A bloodhound mix.
Oh my God.
We got her. She was 65 pounds. She's 85 pounds now. She had to go through heartworm treatment, and she's arriving on April 16th. I need a foster for her, and of course, I would love an adopter for her. But she's been a foster since January. But once again, had to go through the whole heartworm treatment, and she's, like I said, she went from 65 to 85, and it's funny. Kind of, that the vet in Texas said, we have to charge you more for heartworm treatment because she's gained so much weight.
She's in a whole different class.
So now she's in a different class. So I was joking with the foster, like, you had to feed her. Couldn't you just keep her under that weight limit at her fighting weight?
So she's young.
So she's probably, I'm like 2 years old. Mm. And she's a big girl.
She's at the filling out stage.
Yeah. So... And we have so many more.
Just go, where do you go if you want to find?
So you can go on our website at www.northstarpets.org. And all of our dogs are on the website. The dogs that are here in New Jersey, dogs that are coming from Texas, dogs that are coming from Kentucky. And all the dogs are in foster homes before they get here. And then they're in foster homes when they get here. So we tend to have a lot of information on them. And we just have a lot of dogs that are coming, and we...
Yeah. What kind of people are you looking for to foster a dog?
Really, anyone out there that wants to, that either can't adopt right now, or even if you're looking to get your feet wet and you think you want to add a dog to your home, or if you have a dog and you want to see what it's like to have two dogs or three dogs or six dogs or 10 dogs, if you're renting, if your landlord says it's okay, it's fine. It doesn't matter if you have a fenced in yard. It doesn't matter if you have kids. There's really no requirements. And we try to hook you up with a dog that we think would be a good fit for your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So, it's really anyone can do it. Anyone.
And a lot of the time the process is that you may already have a meet and greet set up for when the dog arrives. So it may just be a staging
sometimes,
situation.
Yes. Sometimes, for instance, Finlandia does not have an adopter. So I need a foster for her when she comes up. Mm-hmm. But I have dogs come in next week. I think we have 6 or 7 dogs. And I think out of those 6 or 7 dogs, I think 6 of them have meet and greets. Mm-hmm. So even for like overnight, if someone can take a dog just overnight until the next day when we do a meet and greet for that dog. And then sometimes we have a meet and greet set up and it's just
not a match.
Yeah, it's not a match. So in that case, I have to, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, who's going to foster this dog if it doesn't work out?
Yeah, plan B.
So yeah, we always have to have a plan B, always, or C or D.
I think people are somewhat apprehensive about fostering. They just, oh God, I don't know if I'm ready for a dog. I don't know if I can have a dog in my house.
I work full time for
whatever reason, and it's just so easy. You know, most dogs are incredibly adaptable.
They sleep a lot more than you think.
Yeah, they sleep a lot. Most of our dogs are crate trained. We ask the fosters to try and crate train them, so we'll provide you with a crate. So basically, there's nothing to be afraid about. You bring the dog home, we'll give you a crate, we'll give you bedding, we'll give you a little starter food, you know, to start the dog out on, and dog just comes to your house and hangs out.
And most people, the biggest thing of why they say they can't foster is that they won't be able to let them go, that it's too heartbreaking. But to that I say, if you see what we see, which is all these dogs that are being put down in shelters, by you fostering, you're saving a life. So you have to kind of look at it, not that you're letting this dog go. This dog is going to a wonderful home that you've picked out, and now you can take another dog that was going to be euthanized from a shelter. And it's the first one, the second one, the third one, they're hard. But then when you get into a routine of it, and you know, you see the families that these dogs are going going home to, and you get updates about how great this dog is doing, that's what makes it all worthwhile.
You see the switch flip in people's head, like, oh my God, now I understand.
It is. Yeah.
After the first, you know, one or two, and it's hard. It's hard for the first couple, but you're stronger than you think.
And they had to bottle feed all the puppies because the puppies weren't actually ready to eat. When they took them away, they were still breastfeeding. Is that what you call it with the dogs? Is it called breastfeeding?
It's breastesses feeding.
Because there's so many. It just sounds weird to say breastfeeding with dogs, doesn't it?
Yeah, because...
It seems wrong because then you're just picturing, like, dog breasts, which is, like, weird and awkward and seems like something from, like, a...
I just posted a picture up of the tripod patches. He's so cute. And so I feel bad for these, like, mom dogs, too, that, like, they just become, like, breeding dogs, and they have, like, those big, long, saggy boobs. Do you call them boobs?
I don't know.
And then, you know...
I'm just imagining this, like, creature from, like, a Yodorovsky film where they're all, like... Do you know what I'm talking... Nobody knows what I'm talking about. It's fine.
the other thing that I just wanted to talk about was just the fact that you have to have a sense of humor with this. I say a profession because I think that in the mindset of Tammy and Jeff, like, it is what they're doing. Like, they have to make money on the side with full-time jobs, but this is their calling and their profession.
I mean, the same way that this is with us. It's like, you know, when people ask me what I do, I'm not like, oh, various and sundry odd, like, freelance tasks that I hate. I'm like, oh, I, you know.
But they have they have to have a sense of humor. I mean, they have to be funny and they have to be able to roll with it because, you know, for each great story, there is a tragic story. And then for each up, there's a down. And
for each, like, smooth, just totally, like, smooth process, there's a completely calamitous one where it's just, you know, everything goes wrong from all angles. Yeah. And you really have to be able to roll with it. And I think it's really... It's pretty impressive that they're able to keep doing this.
Yeah. What's impressive are some of these names that are on the message board and people guessing what you would call, oh, bitch teats.
Are we allowed to say that?
Well, a bitch is a female dog.
Okay.
And teats are what they have.
I just had a very small heart attack. I was like, gotcha!
You can say that. It's fine. Jeff Moore said it. It's fine.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't blame him later.
But there was some good. There was some good.
Ooh, good one.
Cat Stevens. Cat name. I feel like we have much more of a cat audience. Just so you know.
But also, like, there's so many good cat name puns. If you have dog pun names, I mean, feel free to chime in.
Kitty Carlisle.
Kitty Carlisle was a good one.
Lady Bird is a good name for a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Ferdinand Marcos.
What was it?
Ferdinand
Marcos and a meow de Marcos.
And
Ferdinand and a meow de Marcos is perfect. I said Mussolini earlier. We got a couple suggestions. Chairman Meow.
Meow.
And there was another one.
They were so, all of the dictators were great.
They're good for cats because cats already, I think, sort of look like they're plotting a takeover. Yeah. And they also look really suspicious, they're on the lookout for, like dissenters everywhere. And so I think it's appropriate.
We've done now 3 different dog episodes.
Yeah,
we did
have.
The Westminster of Fancy Dogs.
We did.
We did Dog Rescue of Awesome Dogs. But we've never done a cat episode.
No. Well, so I tried to get you to go talk to the cat people at the Westminster Dog Show because there's an entire cat room at the Westminster Dog Show now. And I went and interviewed a bunch of cat people and you were having none of it.
Mandalay Del Barco, says Jeff Moore.
I like it.
But you're right. You're right. The evildoers don't come off on a dog face expression.
No. They just look so happy and cute.
Right.
Yeah. Better for, like, maybe old vaudeville stars would be good for those.
Like Groucho Barks?
Yeah! I just walked right into that one. Man, that was good. Yeah. The Barks Brothers. I like having a name for, like, a gang of dogs. Like, I like the idea of naming your dogs individually and then naming them, like, as a gang.
Mm.
Like, right. The Barks Brothers. Like, and so that you can refer to them as a group. Yeah. You know?
The funny thing I'm remembering back with the Tammy and Jeff with the adoption, I had to trim this out, but they had this one, I guess we're allowed to say it, the one asshole dog that they have mm-hmm. with each of their dogs. They've got the no-brainers, and they've got the ones with three legs, and they've got the one with heartworm, and then they had this one that was just impossible to adopt.
It smelled like cheese.
Not the cheese oh. one, but as the Basset Hound is being put in the car, Tammy is taking the little asshole dog, and she's like trying to shove it into the window, and she's like, it's a buy one get one free, you get to have this dog too, bye, have a great life, see you later. And she, I mean, but that's that's the kind of silliness yeah. you gotta roll with.
Yeah.
Anyway, if any of you out there are interested in fostering, NorthstarPetRescues.org, or there is the Facebook page where you can reach out to Tammy and or Jeff under North Star Pet Rescue.
And you can look at pictures of all the dogs they have up for fostering. And
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you're interested in adopting, too, in foster failing.
Karl-Heinz Doghausen.
Or, yeah. That one, I admit, is going a little over my head. I'm going to have to get Jeff Moore to explain that one to me later. Anyway.
And Melinda wants to know why there's a cat room at Westminster.
Oh, because the cat people, I think just the cat people were feeling left out. And so they wanted, they really wanted to have a little cat show. And so they have, like, the cat thing where the cat, you know, goes through the obstacle course, and I got to watch, like, all these, like, fancy froofy cats go through obstacle courses, which works about as well as you would expect it to.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
That's about it.
Training in cats. Anyway, you've been listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for the Honky Tonk Radio Girl coming up next.
Sorry
here
about
on
this,
WFMU.
Guys.
Oh my God.
I have absolutely no idea. I just want a nice dog bed.
You've got a couple
food.
Dog bedders, beds, regular a nice fireplace to sit in front of.
Right up snuggle where
I
got
people,
my dog back.
I want people. I love people, especially with sauce. What do you think, Belle?